Today's study, as we continue in our study of John's Gospel, today's study will be study number 17. And, of course, today is July the 28th. Can't believe that July is already gone, but it is. So we ask you, if you have your companion Bible or your Bible or whatever you got, that you would turn with us over to John chapter 5. And if you've been keeping up with these studies, and hopefully we've got them all caught up online except one. I think study number 12, I still got to redo it and get it posted. But if you're keeping up with them, we've been trying to keep them up to date on the website so that any that you're missing, with the exception of number 12, you can go back and, download them. And I hope to have 12 up for you shortly. Just been run from pillar to post lately, and it's hard to get time and quietness to go back and redo one. So pray with me, pray for me as rather on that regard, that we'll be able to jump in there and do that one and get it ready to post on the website as well. Last week, by way of a short review this morning, we covered John 5, verses 25 through 29. We only got a few verses in, but whoa, the verses that we did get in, they were extremely truth-laden. They had a lot of detail that we had to go over, and I think it was imperative that we go over what we did so that we can understand what the Lord was talking about there dispensationally within the statements that he made. And I've written a kind of a short summary of what we studied last week, and it says, Jesus continues in his teachings to the Jews concerning his mission from the Father there, starting in verse 25. In verse 25, he tells them of a time that was coming and now was, he said, when the dead would hear his voice, and that those that heard would live again. And I believe he's actually speaking of those that would be raised within the eyes, within eyesight of the listeners that were around him, up to and including the resurrection of Lazarus that we'll go over in the 11th chapter, whenever we get to the 11th chapter of John. And there were others. But I believe verse 25 is referring to those, because it says, and now is, that time now is what he said there in 25. He also told them that he had life within himself to give, just as the Father did, and that the Father had also given him the authority to judge. And that's what those few verses are about. They're about life and the Lord's ability to give it, and judgment, and the Lord's ability to yield it, or wield it. He was also the authority of judgment, because all judgment, it said, had been committed to the Son. He also told the Jews not to marvel at the resurrections that they would see shortly, because he said, marvel not at these, after he said verse 25. He says, for an hour was coming when all Israel would be raised, those that had done good unto a resurrection of life, and those who had done evil unto a resurrection of judgment. So there would be, I believe that's the resurrection of the just and the unjust that Paul talks about in Acts chapter 24. Now, we had some discussion about that last week, and that certainly was a blessing too. And this is one of those things you need to go and study out and make up your own mind for yourself. There's a couple of different avenues of thought about this, but what I would prefer is for you to maybe listen to a few of the things that were said and go and do your own study, because these are things that deal with our faith that I think have to be determined by each and every one within their own studies, that you've got to get in there and you got to dig it out for yourself and not just take my word or anybody else's word for it, especially mine. But jump in there and see, because ultimately, I'm responsible for my faith, and you're responsible for yours. And I like to make that admonition that anytime I teach, never take my word for anything sight unseen. Always search the Scriptures to see if these things will be so, because that's what's important. So let's go back by way of review here this morning, since we only covered four verses. Let's go back and read all four verses, starting at verse 25, and then that'll bring us into what we're going to talk about today. John 5:25 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And the dead there, of course, is the corpses. That dead corpses would hear the voice of the Son of God. He said, time's coming and it's here. The time now is. When dead bodies will hear the sound of the voice of God, and they that hear will live. Now you'll remember as he went up to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. The scripture says he cried with a loud voice when he said Lazarus. Lazarus heard him, even from death. Because of the word of the Lord, Lazarus was allowed to hear, and his life came back into him, and he came out of the tomb. Now, I'm a firm believer, and we'll talk about this when we get to chapter 11 in more detail, that had he not specified specifically Lazarus when he went up to the door of that tomb, guess what? Everybody would have come forth that would hear. Everybody. Because of the power of God. We're talking about the Son of God here making this statement. So he very specifically targeted Lazarus in his speech when he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the Lazarus that he was talking to literally, I believe, floated out of that tomb. And we'll get into that when we get to chapter 11. I don't want to get too far into that. 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself. Christ said, just as God the Father has life in him, I've got life in me. And he hath given him, and hath given him authority, verse 27, to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And we made a notation that during the resurrection part, he was called the Son of God. During the judgment part, guess what? He's referred to as the Son of Man. Yet another title for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his relationship in his judgment role there. Verse 28, and Christ goes on to say, marvel not at this. Remember, these are quotes being spoken to the children of Israel from the mouth of the Lord himself, as recorded by John the narrator. Always keep that in mind as we go through these things. Marvel not at this, he says in verse 28. For an hour is coming, in the which all, and I believe that to be all Israel, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, it says in verse 29. They that have done good, or wrought good things, unto a resurrection of life. And they that have done evil things, or evil, unto a resurrection of judgment. Or the scripture says damnation there in the English. But there again, it's still the Greek word crisis, and it means judgment, unto a resurrection of judgment. So we'll pick up with verse 30 this morning. And I want to note that the Lord continues on with his teachings to the Jews here. Remember now, this is right after they caught up with him for healing the man that picked up his bed. And you remember it upset the Pharisees and the Jews that the man was carrying his bed on the Sabbath day. They were looking at the letter of the law and not the intent. They were not looking at the beauty of the law within.
Carly heard that quoted on his radio. It was Max Potato. He was making some kind of analogy. And she remembered.
Oh, did you remember that? Good little Carly.
She even had a study on that.
Well, good. Well, this is right after that. What we're going to talk about today happened right after that, and Christ is still talking to the same men, these same men that were there accusing him and not listening to him and not believing what he said. So we'll pick up with verse 30 today, and we'll keep going as the Lord continues his teaching to the Jews, and he says this. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. Isn't that something? That the Lord Jesus Christ of all creation, Son of God, he said that he could of his own self do nothing. He says, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. He said, my judgment is just and true because I'm not here seeking my own will, I'm here seeking the will of the Father that sent me. And the word will there is the Greek form thelema, or thelema. And it means the desire or the wish, not necessarily the outworking, the result of that desire or wish. The, you know, if you want something or wish for something, that's what thelema means. It means the desire or the wish. So he said, I'm here to do the Father's desire, not my desires. I'm not here to do what I want to do. I'm here to do what my Father wants to do. You know, when you have to clean your room up sometimes, or when you have to do something that your mama says do, talking to little Carly now, or what your daddy says do, you have to, it's not necessarily what you want to do, is it, all the time. Sometimes you may want to watch TV or do something different.
Or jump on my bed.
Or jump on your bed, yeah, which you're probably not supposed to do anyway. But you, and that's what that means. You, the Lord said, I'm doing what somebody else wants me to do. He said, I'm doing the will of the Father here, is what he says in verse 30. He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, thelema, but the will, thelema, of the Father which hath sent me. I don't do my own desires, I do his desires, he says. Verse 31. He says this, he says, if I alone, and that's what the I there means, Christ says, if I alone bear witness of myself, or concerning myself, my witness is not true. So he says, if I stand here and just tell you about myself and I'm the only one that's bearing witness of me, my witness is not true. But now concerning the Lord, how many witnesses did he really have of who he was? You know, what he was doing was going among the people and doing the signs and the miracles and wonders. And he was telling them why he was there. He was telling them who sent him. And he was telling them what the will was of the Father that sent him. And he said, that's all I'm doing. I'm not doing what I want to do. I'm doing that which I've been given to do. So the word witness there, he says, if I bear witness of myself, is the Greek form martyria. And it's a noun, and it means evidence given or testimony. He says, so if I testify, or if I give you evidence, just me, myself, then my witness is not true. My evidence is not true. It means a testimony. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 19 for just a minute. I want to read you something. Deuteronomy speaks of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 19. And in Deuteronomy 19, I'm going to read verses 15 through 21. Deuteronomy 15 says this. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin in any sin that he sinned. One witness. See, the testimony of one witness wasn't any good. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin, in any sin which he sinned. It says, at the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established. You couldn't just have one witness. You had to have either two witnesses, or you had to have three witnesses. You see what the law in Deuteronomy is laying down here. It goes on in verse 16. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judge shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witnesses be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. Whoa. Do you think if we were going by that law and the economy that we live in today that it would slow down some of the junk that's being flailed around? If you knew that whatever punishment was going to be wielded against the guy you're witnessing against would be turned on you if he was found innocent, I bet that would empty the courtrooms a little, wouldn't it? That's one reason I wanted to read this. Because within the economy of God, there wasn't any of these pleas. There wasn't any of this jockeying around. There wasn't any of this lawyer stuff. It was what it was. It says, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you. That's the problem. We never as a society today put the evil away from us. We glorify it. We exalt it. We live by it. Verse 20, and those which remain shall hear and fear. Yes, they will. And shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. He said there's a lesson to be learned here. The ones that are left will see this happen. They'll hear and they'll know. And thine eyes shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. You know, whatever you wanted to happen to the other guy, if you're wrong and you bear false witness against him, guess what? That's what's going to happen to you. That was the economy that they were living under in Deuteronomy chapter 19. That was part of the law. So, now with that in mind, turn over to John chapter 8. There's something else in regard to this I want to read you that the Lord says in John chapter 8. Pretty interesting. The Lord has a lot to say in the book of John about his witness. Turn with me to John chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. John 8, 12 through 18. Then spake Jesus again unto them. Now, this is just a little bit in the future from where we are in chapter 5. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, in verse 13, therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. You see what they're saying? They're saying it's just your word. You're only one witness, so your witness isn't true. That was their accusation to the Lord. What was his reply? And we're going to get into how many witnesses the Lord actually had in his corner today. Jesus, verse 14, John 8, Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. Now why is that? While ago, it would almost seem to contradict with John 5:31, but does it? No, because he's already, by the time we get here, he's already established the fact that there are more witnesses than just what he says. More witnesses than just himself. More witnesses than just his word. There are two or three. There's actually three. Listen to this. He answered, said unto them, though I bear record of myself. He knew the law. He knew what the law said. Yet, in spite of that, my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. And we're going to read down through verse 18. He says, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. We just read that, didn't we? He said, it's written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one, listen to what he says in 18, I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. How is that? The Father that sent him bore witness of him in his word. And we're going to see that back in chapter 5 where we're reading today. There was also one other that witnessed of him. You remember who that was? He's in prison currently in chapter 5. John bore witness that Christ was Christ. Christ also says there's one more that bears witness of me. Who is that? The signs, the miracles that I do. They bear witness of me. They were like a person. They stood on their own. The signs that the Lord did, the miracles. The Jews required a sign. And he gave them the signs, yet they still did not believe his witness. I'm getting the cart before the horse, though. Let's go back to John 5. I hope you get that from verse 31 there, where he says, if I alone bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. And per the law, that's a true statement. But he's standing there saying that, knowing that he has more witnesses than just himself. Let's read on. He says in 32, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. He said, there's somebody else that will witness for me, and his testimony is true, is what it says there in verse 32. That word know, incidentally, in 32, is the Greek form oida. And it means to know intuitively without any effort, to completely understand. That's what that word know from the Greek in 32 means there. And I thought that was interesting. I know intuitively that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. How is it? Because the Lord had lived the things that John spoke of. He knew in his heart that what he told the people was the truth. Okay? Verse 33. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. And that word sent there in 33 is, you have sent unto John. It's the Greek form apostello. You have sent unto John, and he bore witness, or hath borne witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony, verse 34. He said, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say that ye might be saved, or in order that ye might be saved. He said, I don't receive any testimony from any men. He said, y'all have heard John's testimony, yet you don't believe it. I haven't received any testimonies at all from any of you, from any man, but I say these things that ye might be saved. He was standing there talking to people and trying to save them, and they were resisting. It's like we've had some drownings recently, and I was listening to the radio the other day in the area, and there was a guy's girlfriend. The guy was drowning, and his girlfriend swam out to try to save him, and I think they both drowned because he, in such panic, when he saw her get close enough, he grabbed at her and pulled her down too. And oftentimes you see that happen. It's always better to throw a drowning person a life ring or something so that they can grab on that. But that made me think that's exactly what's going on here. The Lord is trying to throw these people a life ring, and they're just pushing it away. They're just pushing it back. Well, Lord, we don't want your age-abiding life. We don't want to be saved. We don't want your eternal life. Just take it back. We don't need it. We're the Pharisees. We know what we believe, and we got all this power and all this pomp set up here. We're good. We don't need any of that. Sad commentary.
There's people like that today.
Oh, wall to wall. We got folks like this wall to wall today. Even today, it's even worse. Verse 34, he says, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say in order that ye might be saved. Verse 35. He here is speaking of John the Baptizer, of course. He's going to give you some details on John the Baptizer. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. The Lord says, you listen to John for a little while. He calls John a burning and a shining light. Look at the note in the Companion Bible there on verse 35 about that. It's the Greek form leuknos. Leuknos. And it means a common rabbinic idiom for a famous man, in contrast with Christ in verse 8 that they think is just running around witnessing of himself. Everybody knew who John was. And the Lord here even says that they were willing to rejoice with John in what he had to say for a season. They were all up for the coming Messiah until they found out who this coming Messiah really was. Jesus of Nazareth? whoa, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I think there's a mistake here. Surely he can't be the Lord. He's not our Messiah. This can't be what they thought. Talking of John, he says in 35, he was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Kind of a sad commentary there. Verse 36. He said, but I have greater witness than that of John. What? John was a pretty good witness for the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Lord. But what did Christ have to say about John's witness? He said, I've got a greater witness than John. That's amazing. Well, let's see what that is. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. You got a man here walking around in the flesh that can heal anybody that he wants to, that can raise anybody from the dead that he wants to, that can cast out any demon out of anybody that he wants to, that can make a man whole that couldn't walk, that can make a man see that couldn't see, that can make a man hear that couldn't hear. You got this man walking around with all these powerful signs, miracles, and wonders to show to the people, to convince the people of who he was, and yet they turned their back. It's always amazing to me when I go back and read the accounts of the Lord's testimony on earth, how people could be people like they are. It amazes me.
It breaks my heart for him.
Yeah.
He's standing right there.
Yeah. How many men among them do you reckon could run around and do these things?
I'm one.
How many could do? Nobody. Nobody could do these things. He said, I got a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Now that greater, when he says I have greater witness, it's exactly that. It's the Greek form meson, and it means larger. I got a larger witness, a more prominent witness than the witness of John, he says. Note here that the Lord states that his works are a witness, as I said earlier. His works are a witness. This makes three. John, the witness of John, the witness of the Father, and the witness of his works. They stand as a witness. So he had John, the Father, and his works. So he had his three witnesses according to the law, didn't he? Isn't that something? Yet they couldn't see it. And he even told them these things. They still didn't want to see it. How hard-headed and hard-hearted can a people be? And I think today we're seeing it all over again. The word finish there in the Greek is teleou, where he says in verse 36, the Father hath given me to finish the works which the Father hath given me to finish. Is teleou, and it means to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill, or to make perfect. My job is to bring the works that the Father gave me to a conclusion, to make them perfect, to fulfill them. The Lord was going to finish his own. You ever be sitting there and you know you're not quite finished with your homework, but you know you need to go ahead and finish it because you're not going to get credit for it if you don't? That's exactly what the Lord had to do. He had to do all the work that the big teacher had given him to do. And that's what he was there for the people to do. In verse 36. Verse 37. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. So there's his other witness. Within these last few verses, he's not only told the people that he bore witness of himself, but he says, I got John, I got my signs, miracles, and wonders. And here he says, the Father bears witness of me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. It says there in 37. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. He tells those Jews, you hadn't heard the voice of the Father at any time, and you haven't seen his shape. Now their forefathers heard the voice of God booming forth from the heavens. Back in the days when God would come down and rest on the top of the mountain, you remember that? Moses would go up to meet with him. Their forefathers had heard God. They had heard the voice of God boom forth from heaven, and it rumbled the earth when he did. But these men had not. They had got so far removed from the original faith of the fathers and what the fathers had seen. Not that it was all that great at times. But Christ said, you ain't never heard him, and you haven't seen his form in any shape. Nor seen his shape, he says, there in 37. That word form is the Greek form eidos, and it means shape. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. You just haven't done it. Verse 38. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, you believe not. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And then a few verses later, keep remembering chapter 1 of the book of John, that same Word became flesh. The Word of God, the Son of God, became flesh. He laid aside all his glory that he had, and he turned into one of us, a human being. Man's perfect God, God's perfect man. And he walked among us. And they would not believe him. That's why he has to say what he says in this verse. He said, you have not his word abiding in you. Because his word was standing there talking to them, and they wouldn't believe it. They wouldn't take it. It's the life ring they keep pushing back. No, I'll just lay here and drown. I'll just sit here and die. It's basically what they're saying. For whom he hath sent. Lord didn't come of his own accord, although he agreed to. He was sent by the Father, he says, to do the work of the Father and to complete the work of the Father. Him ye believe not. You don't believe. Ooh, look what he says in 39. I'm not just telling you that I'm his word. He says, search the scriptures. Ooh. What I like to say. Search the scriptures, y'all. The Lord says it. Search the scriptures. That's the Greek word eruneo. And it means to search diligently as a lion or a hound tracks by scent. You ever seen a dog or a bloodhound get down on the scent? We rabbit hunt with a local fellow here. Got an awesome pack of beagles. And you let those beagles out of the truck, first thing they do when they hit the ground, they go to sniffing around. And they are hunting. That's all they've got in their head. It's all they want to do. They're waiting until they hit that trail of that rabbit. And then when they smell that rabbit, man, poof, off they go, barking like crazy. It's really fun to watch. It really is. That's exactly what this word in the Greek means. It means to search diligently, so diligently, kind of that you've got everything else put out of your head. Like a hound dog tracking a scent, or a lion, or some carnivore tracking an animal. Search the scriptures. Be diligently look in the scriptures. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, or age-abiding life. That's, again, the Greek form aionios, and it means of or pertaining to an age, age-abiding. He says, for in them you think ye have age-abiding life. Tell me that the Jews didn't look for a resurrection. That's exactly what Paul accuses them of in Acts 24. He says, there's coming a resurrection of both the unjust and the just, which you yourselves also allow, he says, in Acts 24. They looked and expected the resurrection. The nation of Israel did. And I think this verse proves it. The Lord says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you've got age-abiding life? And they are they which testify of me. Wow. I bet that lit them up. When Christ connected himself to the Old Testament scriptures from Moses, I'll bet that lit them up. They want to kill him now. If they never wanted to kill him before, they want to kill him now. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And that word testify there is the Greek word martyrio, which means to bear witness of or to bear record or report of. Those scriptures, he says, bear the record of me. I'm the one that's in there that's life eternal. There is no life eternal without me, he says. I'm the life, the way and the life. They are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me, or literally, do not will to come to me, and you do not will to come to me that ye may have life. He said, you pushing, you just continually push that life ring away. I've thrown it to you and thrown it to you and thrown it to you, and you just keep pushing it back until they go under the water. When you get to Acts 28:28, that's when their head goes under the water, awaiting their resurrection as a nation. I hate to put it in exactly those terms, but it's pretty accurate of the nation of Israel and what ended up being their demise. Now, God has not forgotten them forever. Their time is not gone. They're just held in abeyance now until they're resurrected.
As humans, you can't help but think, well, they kind of deserve it.
Yeah, there is a lot of, well, they got what they asked for here. Yeah. Because they didn't believe his testimony. They never did. And they still don't. Even the people that we call the Jews that are over there today, they're not Christian. Mm-hmm. They've got all these other religions and isms and asms, and most of them are Arabs. And they don't claim Christ. Never have. Not as a nation. Verse 40. And ye do not will to come to me that ye might have life. He says in 41, I receive not honor from men. Honor there being doxa. I don't get any glory, any dignity, any praise or worship from men. But I know you, verse 42, that ye have not the love of God in you or in yourselves. Pretty heavy indictment on these people. He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God, love toward God. Because, see, to have love toward God, you got to have love toward the Son. You remember what we saw last time? He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father. You can't have one without the other. They claimed the Father, but they rejected the Son. Guess what? In doing so, they rejected the Father as well. You don't get to choose. That's not your right. You were never given that right. You don't get to choose. And a lot of people today, same boat. They think they can believe in God but not believe in Christ. Sorry. Not according to the scripture. He said, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, verse 43. And ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He said if somebody else floated along in their own name, y'all would believe him. Isn't that something? And we'll stop at verse 44. Let's read it. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another or from one another? You get honor from one another. You give honor to one another. And seek not the honor that cometh from God only. Man, it was hard words coming from the mouth of the Lord. Very hard words. These were the righteous, the judgmental, those that said, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed on the Sabbath day. And they sought him out, chased him down, and questioned him. And the more they questioned him, the more truth he gave them, the less they believed. And he even testifies of that. He said, you don't got the love of God in you. You have no clue what I'm talking about. And they push the life ring away. I hate to leave the study in that connotation, but we'll stop here today. And we'll pick up. The Lord's going to keep going next week. Very long dissertation from the Lord to the Jews. And he'll keep going with this one next week. And we'll get into that a little bit and study it even more and see what else the Lord has to say to these Jews as we move on into the study. Let me stop the recorder here.